For the record, mistakes had been made in the banking sector. There's no denying that. Huge, painfully expensive mistakes. But this had all gone on so far above our heads that we had no influence at all over the decisions being made. All these events, which went on for several years, were exhausting for me. I was stuck in my seat, unable to do anything about the whole disaster. It was like living in a state of mental limbo. If energy drinks could have helped, I would have chugged them endlessly. When the crisis passed and the dust settled, people ended up losing their jobs. Our clients went bankrupt, and families were driven out of their homes. My role, which involved interacting with the least fortunate of these, saw me witnessing men and women breaking down in tears on a daily basis. Even so, perhaps I could have coped with all that if I hadn't also had the misfortune of working with a number of colleagues who habitually drained me of an almost unbelievable amount of energy. Some days, their attitudes and ways of responding to and handling the situation left me feeling as if I'd been robbed of my entire will to live. In fact, any of these situations would probably have been manageable one at a time. I'm a fairly stable person, and I've been to hell and back more than once. My experiences have strengthened me. But at that time, I was still a fairly young man who hadn't developed any real strategies for tackling this. Most difficult of all, I still lacked any real understanding of where this hopelessness I was feeling really came from. All I knew was that I would come home at night feeling drained and that I was irritable and frustrated much of the time. One serious cause was that I was doing the wrong kind of work. Anybody who has been in the wrong job before knows how exhausting it can be to try to feel even the mildest enthusiasm when you're constantly aware of how much you detest the work you need to do. To further complicate things, corporate leadership wasn't interested at all in listening to the frustrations of their workforce. Instead of providing us with clear guidance and strong leadership, they sent us to motivational seminars. In many cases, these were actually quite entertaining. I laughed in recognition at a lot of stuff, as did most of the other people in the room. But as it turned out, inspirational seminars, however inspiring, solved absolutely none of our actual problems. Listening to some bundle of energy on a big stage explain to us how all we had to do was apply some positive thinking was certainly captivating, but strangely, it did nothing to help us handle being the object of our clients' fits of rage. If you've ever had a boss who tried to give you a pep talk when what you really needed was specific answers, I'm sure you know the feeling. However, the most interesting thing was the fact that several of my colleagues exhibited some rather unusual behaviour. One woman was so work-averse that she used to begin nearly every work week with a sick day. Her accounts of her various ailments became more and more fanciful as the months went by. As you are no doubt aware, accusing a co-worker who may be sick of putting on an act might be perceived as less than helpful. However, I had to draw the line when she returned from a 2-week leave of absence because a ladybug bit her thumb. She hated taking directions, and she tried to get away with doing the bare minimum whenever she was given a task to do. Now, I've learned that she was displaying what psychologists call passive-aggressive behaviour, which involves seeking to avoid all personal responsibility. As far as I know, she's still at it today.